Coming up, the novel Yedidya is ultimately about thanking Hashem when things look bad. And we are speaking with author Naomi Elbinger about how Yedidya's journey is doing a lot of good. Welcome to 613 Books Podcast. I'm your host, Heather Dean. If you enjoy a variety of books with authentic Jewish values, we read you loud and clear. How many times have you heard or asked that timeless question, read any good books lately? Well, in just a little while, we will check in with a wonderful Reading Table contributor, but first. My special guest this week is Naomi Elbinger, the co-author of the widely acclaimed novel Yedidya. She is also the CEO of a web development company and an urban farmer who has been active in bringing nature education to Israel's Haredi sector. And for more information about Yedidya, the novel, which is also available in Hebrew and Spanish, and to buy your own copy, you can head over to yedidyabook.com. That's YedidyaBook.com. Welcome to 613 Books Podcast, Naomi Elbinger.
Thank you. Thank you, Heather, for welcoming me.
You're credited as co-author of the novel Yedidya, which is based on Rabbi Daniel Yaakov Travis's series of classes called Thanking Hashem When Things Look Bad. Can you just tell us about the collaboration, the goal of the novel, and how, as a writer, it was decided between the two of you how the chain of events would unfold for Yedidya?
Well, it's an interesting story, and I'll start by saying that Yedidya is a novel. It's a novel in every sense, but yes, at its heart and core is a series of Torah classes given by Rabbi Travis, who's a well-known rabbi in Jerusalem. So the story is kind of interesting. Basically, the whole book was not my idea. It was Rabbi Travis's idea, but, you know, he's a Torah teacher and he doesn't write novels. So he approached me. That was in like 2018. Almost 5 years ago. And at the time, I was a very busy entrepreneur. I've had a successful business for like over 15 years. I had a web development agency and I was very busy. And when he asked me to write the book, I was not interested. You know, I didn't have time. And I actually also didn't think, I wasn't actually sure it was a good idea to try and write a novel, you know, which at its core had Torah ideas, because, you know, usually when someone's reaching for a novel, they're looking, you know, to kick back their feet on the couch, right, and, you know, chill. They're not necessarily looking for deep inspiration or awakening, you know what I mean? So I had my reservations, and but nevertheless, you know, I have a lot of respect for Rabbi Travis, and I decided to give it a try, and then I created this character. Really, Rabbi Travis had the idea for the character, and he had the idea for the ideas we're going to give over through the story, but the actual story and the characters were, you know, came, you know, Hashem plop them in my imagination. And the more I got into it, the more I fell in love with it. And eventually I just sort of committed myself to this project, and we were able to bring out a book. We actually did it as a serial, like an independent online serial during the COVID period in 2020, when, you know, things were upside down for most of the world. And we managed to get a really, really strong following for the weekly serial. And people just loved the book. It came out chapter by chapter, thank God. And then it was published, you know, in 2021 by Feldheim. And since then, I mean, it's been over 2 years since it was published now. And it's just unbelievable how it continues to grow. And it goes from, you know, it's word of mouth. And Baruch Hashem, like, you know, not a day goes by when we don't receive tremendous feedback on this book. It's been translated into two languages now, into Hebrew and into Spanish. The Hebrew edition came out just a few months ago, and it's been an unbelievable success, thank God. And now I'm getting letters in Hebrew all the time, you know, and it amazes me, you know, how much people have taken to this book. And because it's an innovative idea, like I said, like, it's not usually how novels are written, and it's not usually how Torah works are written, right? It's kind of a new animal, and I was not at all sure that anyone would go for it, but thank God, you know, it's really struck a chord with so many thousands of readers.
Right. Have other Yedidya readers like me told you that since reading Yedidya, they continually say Kolma d'Avid Rachman Alatav Avid, which is loosely translated English, whatever Hashem, the merciful one, does, he does for the good. It's a famous line from the Gemara in Brachos.
Yeah, that's right. So that line, which is really I'd say the whole story is really like a parable exploring that one famous saying, which comes from Rabbi Akiva. It's a well-known saying, but anyone with the Jewish education probably has heard of it. But at the same time, like, you might not necessarily have thought so much about what it has to do with your life on a daily basis. And the whole book was really designed as a way to explore that. And it gives me and Rabbi Chavez both so much nachas that we do hear that from readers. Very often people tell us, Kol Ma'adav Rachman Latav, they're saying it all the time. And thank God we have some real raving fans of this book. One of them came to visit me from LA in my home maybe a couple of months ago. And she showed me that she'd bought one of these silver rings. I think she told me they're very in fashion. And she had inscribed on the inside, like engraved on the inside, the words, Kol Ma'adav Rachman Latav Avi. Because, she just wants to have it with her all the time. And, so absolutely, that's your answer.
Wow. Yedidya is a really bright, deep-thinking American yeshiva bacher in Jerusalem. And without giving away the first of many calamities that Yedidya encounters in the novel, one of the many circumstances that I noticed is that nearly everyone in his life at some point either disappoints him or betrays him. What is the lesson that we can learn through Yedidya about persevering while feeling so very alone?
I think that's a really excellent question. So one of my goals in creating the character of Yedidya is that he should be immensely relatable. I really wanted the readers to feel like, hey, this could be me. Or sometimes they might think, this is me. So it's interesting when you do that, because most writers and editors that I've dealt with, they say if you want to create a character that's relatable, what you need to do is sort of like think about what your average reader, what their life is like, and give your character a life like theirs. This is the thinking, and I really don't agree with that. I really don't. I don't think that's what makes characters relatable. I think that I created a character, Yedidya. He's actually from New York, unlike me. I hope I did a good job of writing a New Yorker. I'm from Sydney, Australia, if you can't hear, but I live in Israel for over 20 years. So he's a bit of an extreme personality, and he's not your average Jew at all in many ways, right? And he's not the average New Yorker either. In his background, his parents are Baalei Tshuva, and he sort of struggled to find his way forward. So did his family always did. And he's trying to forge his own path in life. He's really not the typical young yeshiva bacher at all. So what makes him relatable? Why is it that not only do I have just thousands of readers telling them that they identify with him so strongly, but even I'm talking about Israeli readers, right? People who just they don't even know an American yeshiva bacher. They've never met one in their life, right? And they've never been to New York, and they don't know about anybody's background, right? But they read this book and they say, "And kukach mistahem Yedidya." I identify with him so much. Why is that? Because of the feelings that he feels, which are very relatable, right? And one of the main ones, which you pointed out, which I think is absolutely one of the main reasons people relate to him, is because of that intense aloneness that he has and loneliness, which, for better or for worse, the world we live in now, it's very common. Many people feel adrift. I think it's the norm. It's more common than not, right? That people feel that they don't have like a solid roots of, or a path to follow in that's secure. Everybody's forging their own path. They don't necessarily have anyone around who really gets them or can support them in it. And it's a very lonely experience. I think that's what people are relating to. One of the main things in Yedidya, and also he's a person in transition, right? I think it's very common these days, maybe in the good old days, I don't know when, even my parents, and for sure my grandparents' time, even with a crazy upheavals my grandparents went through in that period of history, right? There was a path and expectations that were more set, and they sort of followed them. And nowadays, people are just trying to figure it out. Everyone's in transition. Like they're not going to, even if they had a good childhood, right, a perfect childhood, unlike you did, it's just not possible to continue in the ways of our parents. Like the world's changing too fast. Everybody's forging their own path all the time, and it's lonely.
Right. So often Yedidya just lives by his wits. On his journey, he's continually taken out of his comfort zone. Sometimes he makes decisions out of desperation. We readers are rooting for him throughout. What do you hope your readers gain from thriving through those times when we're out of our comfort zone?
I mean, first of all, I'd say any good story is going to push the character out of the comfort zone. It would not be an interesting story, right, if the character just got to do what they've always been doing. It always begins, right? A man goes on a journey, right? That's the classic story. It begins with something pushing the character out of their comfort zone. And really, in our own lives, that's where we all, our true character is tested and our true character is forged in those moments. So, you know, it is really interesting to put a character in a situation that is the extreme opposite of their nature. And you didn't want to give too much away. I'm going to give a little bit away about this story because when I talk about Yidija, I do say this much, which is that, you know, he's a very serious yeshiva bach, very, very takes his frumkeit very seriously. I'm sure you've all met people like that. However, what happens is he's falsely accused of dealing drugs and he's kicked out of yeshiva. That's the beginning of the story. I'm not giving any more away. It's like the most extreme situation that a guy like that, who in a million years would never dream of doing such a thing, right, is pushed like, so yes, his challenge is going to bring out everything in him and test him to the max. And that, you know, that's what's interesting to read, I think. And it's the same with all of us in our lives. There is a creator in this world and he has a way of, you know, bringing us up against circumstances that are going to push us beyond the limit of what we thought we could endure. And that's, you know, that's an opportunity. And that's really what this book is trying to explore. It's an opportunity. It's very painful. I'm not going to downplay it. But it's really, if we can see it as an opportunity to become a better version of ourselves, then a gift, right?
Right. That's very nicely put. I appreciate that. And we were talking before this interview began about another bit of feedback you get from your readers. And that's the question whether there will be a follow-up. So what can you tell us about what's next for you, Yidija? Or if there's going to be a next volume?
Okay, well, that's a million-dollar question that I get asked an awful lot because, you know, so many people have connected to the character of Yidija, and he's still young. He's only 22 in this book, right? So they want to find out what's going to happen next in his life. And so, yes, for over a year and a half now, I have been writing the sequel to Yidija, and it's very much anticipated, and I feel a great weight of expectation, maybe even pressure from excited readers who are waiting for this book. It's a really big challenge. Let me tell you, everything that I do to this character and that I decide whether or not I'm going to do to him or put him through, I always ask myself, would my reader relate to this? Would they do this? Would they feel that way? Would they, you know what? And that's a very difficult thing for an author to ask themselves. I think that many times authors are probably asking themselves questions like, what can I make that'll be exciting for the reader to read? The reader will have an escape, you know, they'll escape into this alternate reality and they'll love it. We have no intention of doing that, right? But that's the fun of you know, those stories for people, I guess. So I'm not writing that kind of story. I'm really trying to write a story where it matches up with the reality of readers and a huge range of readers. So everything I do, everything the character thinks and does, I weigh it so carefully to make it feel real for people. I want them to feel like this is their story. So it's kind of an ambitious undertaking. Maybe that's why it's taking so long. But with Hashem.
Sorry, I just wanted to say that this is all the more reason for people to head over to yididyabook.com so that they can get updates as to your process and when people can expect the next volume to come out.
Yeah, absolutely. If anyone who hasn't had it, if you go to their website or if you just look on Amazon, you can start reading the first couple of chapters for free and see if it grabs you. I have a feeling it might. Baruch Hashem. And yeah, we have like a really active community of readers that we keep updated about what's going on. And my co-author, Rabbi Travis, often like makes, you know, very short inspirational shiurim that he shares with our readers and people.
Oh, that's good to know. So my last question to you is about the name Yidija itself. Why did the two of you or whoever decided ultimately on the name Yidija, if you could just briefly explain it and why that was chosen to be the title character's name?
Okay, that's a great question. The character Yidija was named by Rabbi Travis. He always, even before he got me on board with this book, he wanted the main character to be called Yidija. The reason is because Yidija is a name from the Tanakh. It's used for, you know, King Solomon, Shlomo Melech, one time in the Tanakh. And it means Yidid, means friend, and Ka means of Hashem. So it's like the friend of Hashem. And that is really Yidija's journey, is to realize, you know, how much Hashem loves him and how much of a connection he can have with Hashem, you know, that they'll be friends, whatever that means to be friends with Hashem. But yeah, the name is very significant. And not only is it his name, the main character, but it is what this book is about. If you remember, this book is not just a novel, but it's also a work of Jewish thought. It's a book about all of us finding, you know, what it means to be Yidid Ka, right? Have a close relationship or friendship with Hashem. So yeah, it's the character and it's the theme of the book, basically.
Well, Naomi Elvinger, it's so amazing to get to speak with you about this groundbreaking novel that more and more readers are enjoying and benefiting from. And I just want to thank you for coming to 613 Books podcast and speaking with us about Yudidya.
It is absolutely my pleasure. It's always a pleasure meeting you, Heather, really. Thank you for inviting me, really.
Naomi Elbinger is the co-author of Yedidya and also a mentor for entrepreneurs who has been profiled in Mishpacha, Ami, and Hamodia, and has helped create the Temech Conference, the world's largest business event for Jewish women. To buy your copy of Yedidya and get bonus material, head over to yedidyabook.com. That's YedidyaBook.com. And to contact Naomi Elbinger directly, send her an email to n@naomielbinger.com. That's the letter N at naomielbinger.com.
And now it's time to find out what is on the reading table of today's Jewish movers and shakers.
Sari Kapitnikov is one mover and shaker I'm excited to hear from about what's on her reading table. And that's because I'm a longtime fan of the videos that she posts on social media, whether they're pure comedy or excerpts from her own amazing books. Sari is an experiential educator, digital artist, content creator, and workshop facilitator. She creates books, games, activities, and shows that bring the beauty, joy, and creativity of Judaism to life. Okay, Sari, what is on your reading table?
Hi, Heather. On my reading table is The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. I'm about halfway through the book, and I love the book's premise. The author is a psychologist, and he has spent years helping people reach their greatest potential. And he's worked with lots of high-powered executives, big names, and he explains that so many of us get stuck in our zone of excellence. But if we can push past our upper limits and spend more time in our zone of genius, we'll achieve our true potential, leading to more happiness and success. And the book has actually been on my nightstand for a while, which is kind of funny and maybe even expected, because he explains the many ways we get in our own way. And not finishing the book is a perfect example. I should really move the book to the top of my pile. Anyway, I highly recommend this book, especially if you feel like you have many God-given gifts and you feel compelled to do more and achieve more. And that's what's on my reading table.
Thanks, Sari. What an interesting choice. And if you, my listeners, would like to check out Sari Kapitnikov's original books, as well as lots of other educational resources, visit her website, thatjewishmoment.com. You can also connect with her on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, @thatjewishmoment. And that's what's on the shelf this week at 613 Books Podcast. I'm Heather Dean. Thanks for listening.
613 Books Podcast is produced and hosted by Heather Dean. Senior producer and director of operations, Greg Cohen. Consulting producer, Yiska Roth. Show announcer, Michael Doniger. Remember to like and subscribe to our show on your favorite app, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or your own preferred app, and never miss an episode. You can find all episodes of 613 Books Podcast by visiting our website, heatherdeanproductions.com.